Well, good morning. I do apologize. I wasn't able to get to everybody and shake your hands. I was kind of stuck here or there. So sorry about that. We do want to welcome you here. And we're so glad to have you here. And we pray that God will touch your heart and touch your life. We did have the revival, the citywide revival this past week, the 11th, 12th, and 13th. I was able to go the Tuesday and the Thursday, and it was interesting. You know, I said, Lord, it's an amazing thing to bring so many churches together and have people preach. And, you know, you just, it's good, you kind of give and take here or there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they preach, they preach whatever, all kinds of stuff, so. But it was, the presence of the Lord. And so that's what is the main thing, touching people's hearts, touching people's lives. So, I thank God for the move of the Holy Ghost, So, amen. If you would, turn to Psalms chapter 46, please. And get your Bibles if you have it. We're going to do our reading together. Well, praise God. We didn't get as much rain as what they thought yesterday. So thank you, Lord. I know whenever I hear bad weather's coming, I'll go before the Lord and I'll say, okay, now, Lord, we need your protection, upon our homes and everything else, that God would protect and help. So thank you, Lord. It says for us to petition and go to him on a continuous basis. So Psalms 46, starting with verse 1. It says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Two, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Three, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Four, there is a river that the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Five, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Six, the heathen raged and kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and earth melted. Seven, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. 9. He makes wars to cease until the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. He is our refuge. Oh, my Lord. Praise God. Don't run to anything else but to the Lord for your refuge. Because I tell you what, I know sometimes things get rough in life. In life. Just living life, huh? But turn to the refuge, which is the God of Jacob, which we know is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Run to him. It just doesn't say walk, but run to him speedily and saying, Lord, I need your help in this area or that area to intervene. Amen. Praise God. Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord God, for today. And Father, I pray that your anointing and your presence would rest upon me this day. Lord, help me to preach and teach your word with power and authority. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would take your Bibles, and let's say I'll make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We read the chapter in Psalms 46, which is awesome. I mean, it's all great, the Bible. How great He is. But verse 10, I'd like to go back to, if you don't mind. Psalms 46:10. You know, it starts out the chapter saying, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, many a times we've all been in trouble, and God had to come in and rescue us and help us. We were in trouble. We were in trouble all kinds of ways. But God stepped in and gave us hope and help. He wants to remind us. He's the God that can help us in our troubles. My Lord. You know, He's the only one that can settle the troubles of the heart. And I'm not saying the heart organ. I'm just saying what's inside. He can settle those things on the inside of us. The things that trouble us from the outside, the things that trouble us on the inside. He is our refuge, it says. He is the one we turn to and run to because He is our help in the present time of day. But it says this in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. You know, sometimes we get to a place where we need to just be still before Him. We live in such a fast pace, running here, running there, that God says, be still now. And that could be a physical thing and a spiritual thing too. To be still before Him. Not always running here or there, but taking a little bit of time to just stop and be still before Him. Be still is an exhortation to quiet the mind and heart. And to cease from striving. That hit me hard when I was searching all this stuff. To cease from striving. You know, striving means to struggle or fight vigorously, making great efforts to achieve or obtain something. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, we're not to strive for things and whatever, but we're to be still before Him at times. You know, it says that still small voice that comes from heaven above is wanting to speak to us. We can only hear the still small voice if we're still before Him, saying, Lord, help me to know You. Lord, help me to be, help me to take this time to sit before You. Not to have the radio playing. You know, we go from TV in the house to radio in the car. And there's nothing wrong with it. Unless it's too much sometimes. And we don't have just that quiet time with Him, no matter what. You know. But just to sit before Him, to be still, and let the Spirit of God work in our hearts and lives. You see, God is in the business of rescuing His people. God is in the business of helping His people in whatever capacity or whatever way He needs to. But we have to be still before Him so that He can speak to us, so that we can hear what He says. You know, I was going to cut the ditch of my house, you know, with the mower. You know, that's loud, you know. And so my neighbor across the street comes out and he's saying stuff. And I couldn't hear him. So I turned off the mower and he walks over. I couldn't hear because the mower was on, and you know, Highway 700, it's not like you're going 25 miles an hour. Sometimes we hear zoom. I mean, it's like, Lord, we know the curve is there, helping to make it, you know. It's so loud. That's just like God with us, people. Sometimes things can be so loud that everything is on and everything is happening and we're going here and there's nothing wrong with going here or there or having entertainment and there's nothing wrong. But God wants us to have that still time with Him that we can hear clearly. Be still and know that I am God. Did they not know that He was God? But to be still before Him. See, I couldn't hear my neighbor speak. And I told him, I said, I can't hear you. I can see the mouth moving and I can see the hand gestures and, you know, but nothing here, you know. Till the I had to do my part in turning it off. And he had to do his part by coming over to where I was so that the car noise could not stop. See, God is in the business of speaking to the people, His people. God is in the business of talking and communicating with His people to give them direction, to give them help, to show them what to do. I don't think God has the problem. I think we have the problem. And I'm not trying to belittle mankind at all. But I think we need to kind of just settle a little bit. Take that time to sit before God and say, Lord, I just want to listen to you. People, no telling what He's going to say. And hey, I know we have to work. And that's busyness, huh? I know we have to get things done. And that's busyness. And I'm sure not going to negate that or say, you know. But sometimes we can go a little overboard. And sometimes we may need to rein things in a little bit. So that we can have that still time with Him. And just sit there. And I'll be, and not even pray so much. Just sit there a little bit. Meditate maybe on His word a little bit. Meditate upon Him and just saying, you know, whatever. But letting Him come in and strengthen that spirit man on the inside. Ooh. You see, you take a married couple, and if one is always doing this over here, and the other one is running on this end and doing this over here, and those two things are good, whatever they're doing is good. But if him and her don't come together and spend that time together, I'm not saying it has to be every single minute of the day. Not so. Because it's not possible with work and all that. But if they don't come together, they will lose that still time with one another. And they will lose their relationship with that other person. The one that God has brought together. You see? See, we can't lose. We got to spend a little bit of that still time. And you know, you might say, well, you know, I'm praying. And those are, you need to do those things. You need to read your Bible. You need to pray. You need to seek God. You need to pray for other people. Those are all great and important things we are to do. Those are Christian etiquettes that God has put in Christians' life because we love our God. And sometimes we're burdened down by things. But I tell you what, you take that time to sit a little bit with Him. to listen to what he says. He wants to speak. He might speak, could be audibly. Hey, God can do it. Heard that before. God could speak to your spirit. God could speak through his word. God could speak through a song. God could speak to human beings, and I'll say human beings first, because he could speak through a donkey or actions of a rooster. So I want to put human beings first before these things, because it says in Scripture that we were made a little lower than Elohim, which is God above people. We're a little lower than God. Now, that doesn't mean we're God. He made us. But that's how precious we are in the sight of God. Who was the one Jesus was teaching and one was in the kitchen cooking? Mary and Martha. And it was Martha that was at his feet? Martha. One took, and I'm just coming back to my mind here. There were sisters, and one was in the kitchen cooking and doing a great job. And hey, look, you have a lot of people at your home, you got to cook, huh? You know? But the other one was sitting at his feet and listening, and she got mad, the one that was cooking, and saying, "Why don't you tell her to come help me?" You know? She did the greater thing, because they weren't going to have Jesus long. See, it's good to prepare and do, and there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus never said it was wrong. But the one that stayed at his feet did the greatest thing, people. You see, be still and know that he is God. You see, when you're still before him, when you get in that place where you say, okay, now, Lord, and it could be walking around, whatever. Take a little bit of time to not have nothing on, the TV, radio, zero. All you hear is the refrigerator going on and off. Maybe the ticking of the clock, because you can't turn that on. Whatever it is, you might hear a bird chirping. That's okay. But you see, it's in those still small times that the Spirit of God can come in and give you a word that you need, a word in due season, a word that you need to help you to go on and do what God has called you to do. My God, God wants to fellowship with us and give us what we need during that time, being still, saying, Lord, just show me. Father, I praise you and I honor you. And I thank you for who you are, Lord. Oh, God. And seeing and feeling the Spirit of God just come in. You see, it's those times that you can sit there or whatever you do. And you can have the burdens of your life roll away. Why are you carrying so much baggage? Why? You might say, well, Pastor, you don't know the decisions I need to make. I understand. That's life. You know? Who likes to search for a new insurance company? I can't stand them. From your house to your car to everything. Who wants to? Who wants to? That's added. Can care less. You know, you just, why? You know. Now, it's fun to go shop for a new vehicle, though. Oh, yeah. Hey, let's go. That's fun. That's too stressful for her. But just to go out and look. Jelaine and I, when we first got married for a little while, we used to love just to go look at trailer homes. Just walk in and just look at them till they started to get you sick, you know, because of the smell. It was new. Everything was new in it. It would smell, you know, but we weren't buying one. We were living in one at that time. But it was fun. Let's go. And go walk through them and see, oh, that's nice. Oh, look how far they've come. Go, look. You know, just nice. See, that quality time with our Lord, be still before Him. Be still. And I know some of you are thinking, you know, but Pastor, I'm not like you, or I'm not like, you know, so-and-so. They're a bigger Christian or a better Christian. Look, throw that out of your mind. Let me tell you this. In the kingdom of God, we're all the same. Now, that doesn't mean the calling's the same. Because He has the fivefold ministry that He calls to do the work of the ministry. And He anoints to do it. But I tell you what, your prayers are just as effective as a minister's prayer. My God. Your prayers are just as effective as the 12 disciples' prayers. My Lord. Your prayers are just as effective. He hears your prayers. He hears you. Just listen to Him. And if He doesn't tell you anything about a situation, look, don't worry about it. You just keep on knocking on His door till He gives you the answer. Not the answer you're looking for. Don't go under presumption. Ooh. We go by faith, not presumption. We live by faith in the Son of God. We live by faith. We walk in faith in what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. We don't walk in presumption, presuming He did it this way one time, He'll do it again this way. Well, we can't put God in a box. He is God. We don't tell God what to do. You ever heard somebody pray and telling God what to do? I back off because it's like I'm going, I don't know about this. It's not right according to the Word. We go to Him in faith. We believe His Word. We stand upon it. And then the results are up to Him. Oh, my Lord. The results are up to Him. That's right. Now, that doesn't mean He's not working and doing. And sometimes human beings don't want to do what He wants them to do. And so it goes out in play. But He works. Be still before your God. Let Him commune with you. Let Him commune with you. When they would walk into that most holy place, as the Ark of the Covenant was in that place, and those two big cherubims with wings stretched out from one end of the wall to the other, their feet hitting the back part of it, two of them over the Ark of the Covenant. They would walk in. That's where the presence of Almighty God was. As you are still before Him. And you kind of get all those things out a little bit. You might say, well, Pastor, how long do I need to do that for? If I tell you a time and you miss it, you're going to feel guilty. So it could be 2 minutes. But you're still before Him. And you're communicating, and He's communicating with you, and He's speaking. It could be 5 minutes, it could be 30 minutes, I don't know. One day it could be one time, next day, but you're taking that time with Him to be still, because you're going to know when you get up out of that place, wherever you are, oh, my Lord, He is God. Oh, I went before Him. And I was still before Him. That, and I'm not talking about still, you know, just kind of calm yourself down. Calm yourself down a little bit. Be still before Him. When you do that, you're going to find out He's going to speak to you. He's going to share things with you. He's going to give you what you need for that day. He's going to give you what you need for that next hour, that next year. You're going to find out He is God. Oh, my Lord, I felt Him. This morning He touched my heart. He touched my life. He encouraged me. He helped me. I know there's no one that can talk me out of it. He is God. He is King. He is Lord. My Lord. No matter what comes your way, No matter what comes your way, your faith will still be in Him and what He did at Calvary's cross. My Lord, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. We see men and women throughout the Word of God that all they had was destroyed. But yet these men and women stood up and said, no matter what. You look at the disciples and you see many of them that were boiled in oil, hot oil. You ever been boiled in hot oil? My Lord, just don't let our finger get caught with a hot water under the faucet. My Lord. Has anyone ever been hung upside down? Has anyone been stripped of their skin? Hey, these were the disciples that loved God with everything within them, to be strong in the things of God, to let God move in our hearts. Look, they spent time with God, Jesus, physically and spiritually. That whatever they went through, look, can you think of the New Testament church hung on 12 guys to be successful? We know the Spirit of God helped them, but hung on 12 guys. What if the church world hung upon your life today? What would happen? Good or bad? I don't know. How important it is, people, just to be still with Him and saying, Lord, teach me your ways. Can you imagine? You just there and you've praised Him, you've honored Him, and you say, now, Lord, just speak to me. You see what's going on in my life, Lord. And all of a sudden, a still, small voice speaks to you and says, Joe, or your name, I love you. Ooh. That'll blow you away, huh? To know, we know from the Word God loves us. But to hear the voice of our Father expressing His love towards us. Like someone was telling me about a year or so ago, right here in this church, they said they were talking, just praising God about something. And something was just weighing upon their hearts. And they said all of a sudden they could feel just the Holy Spirit coming and just hugging them. And it's like, look, a dollar can't buy it. $20,000 can't buy that. Money's useless at that time. But can you imagine? See, God knew what He needed. And God expressed His life and love towards him. You know, I think of Revelations. Let's turn to Revelations chapter 1. You seem a little quiet today. You okay? I love you. Amen. Y'all are a great bunch of people. Talking about John a little bit. It says in chapter 1, verse 9, it says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, talking about Sunday, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Oh, my Lord, hearing the voice of our God, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches that are in the seven churches. And verse 4, and I turned to see the voice that spoke to me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. You might say, well, Pastor, why? Look, sometimes God will allow things to happen in our lives. John did nothing wrong. to send them to an isle. It was called, it was an island, Patmos. It was an island about 35 to 37 miles east-west of Greece. They sent him there, and you might say, well, that was just a criminal island. Yes, it was. That's where they sent criminals. But John wasn't a criminal. He just spoke the truth and spoke the word of God. And so they sent him there. And you know, John probably thought, well, here I'm going to a place that I don't deserve to be in. And he's absolutely correct. But he didn't realize this was still in God's plan. You know, most modern day Christians, you'd say, man, you know, John, you did something wrong. You should be blessed beyond measure. I mean, the gospel preaching of, you know, that it's horrible, people, you know, of prosperity. God wants to prosper his people. But it's a fine line of the truth and non-truth. And here John got to this place at Isle of Patmos doing nothing wrong. Have you ever been accused of something and you didn't do it? How does that feel? Not good, huh? Not good. Because you know you're innocent. John was innocent. Yet they sent him to that place. Isle of Patmos. Where most of it was rocks and where criminals would go. So obviously they probably had a few other criminals here or there roaming the island. But he was on his own little place there. And it says the Spirit of the Lord started to come in and talk with him. Can you imagine? As you're sitting there, they drop you off. They could care less about you. You can die. No food. Zero. And all of a sudden, as he's there, the Spirit of God starts to speak to him. Tell him, I'm going to show you some things. The voice of the Father was speaking to him. My Lord. Can you imagine? He must have been energized right then. You know, hey, look. Sometimes we may go through a little problems here or there, little hiccups here or there. Remember this, God is still in control, people. If you've given your heart to him, he's in control. No telling what God wants to do through that situation. John thought he was out, oh my God, what's going to happen? And all he didn't know that God was going to be on that Isle of Patmos. Sometimes you may not realize you may be sent spiritually on an Isle of Patmos, but I tell you what, that's where God may be to speak to you, to show you things, to reveal himself to you. My God, if it wasn't for what God did in sending him there and John going, we would not have the book of Revelation. I wonder how many things we may not have because men and women didn't submit to what God wanted. Oh, my Lord, people. Sometimes, you see, God couldn't have given John this book of Revelation and revealing it to him when he was on the mainland because he was too busy. Too busy. Wasn't still before God. Too much going on. Too much going on. Too much going on. Don't lose your first love. Don't lose what God has done and what God will do and what he will do in the future. Don't lose the power and the presence and the anointing and the intimacy that you have with your God because of busyness. Don't lose it. Be careful to protect it. It doesn't say how long John was absolutely there for before God came in. It doesn't say. You know, we often think, well, he was dropped off, he sat on a rock, and God was there. we see Charleston Heston, you know, and points that in the, you know, we don't know the timetable of God. We don't know if he was there for 30 days or there for 10 days or 5 days, discouraged. Because he's saying, I did nothing wrong, Lord. I did nothing wrong. You may be in that place of discouragement, but let me tell you this, your day is coming where God will meet with you and He will open up the doors and show you why you had to go through this difficult time. Why you had to go through those hard and difficult times. Sometimes it's just to humble us. Sometimes it's to get our eyes off of the mountain and get our eyes upon the cross of Calvary. That means getting it back on Jesus and not losing it on other things of the world. Don't let the world capture your heart. Don't love the things of the world. There's nothing wrong with having things, but don't let it capture your heart. Just like it's not wrong to have money, it's wrong when you love it. The Bible says every evil thing goes back to the love of money. I see it. You see people doing the weirdest, stupidest things all for a dollar. Because they love it. Don't love the things of the world. It's okay to possess things, but don't let it possess your heart. Okay? It's not wrong to have a new vehicle. Say that again. It's not wrong to have a new vehicle. He works at Service Chevrolet. That's why. Nothing wrong with having a new house. Nothing wrong with having new whatever this or that. You know, don't let it capture your heart. It's not wrong to have a brand new boat. But don't let it capture your heart. Okay? It's not wrong to have new tennis shoes. You know, the latest cowboy boots and the tennis shoes and all that stuff. Nothing wrong with that. Don't let it capture your heart. You might say, how do I know if it captures my heart? If God would come up to you and say, I want you to give the thing you possess most, let's say a new shirt, shoes, whatever it is, away. And you look at him and you say, no. 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 That's how you know it has captured your heart. But that's okay. At least you know. And you say, Lord, help me to be willing to give it. Because you never know. He may say, go give it. And they give it right back to you. See, we don't know the result. We just know what God says, maybe. It talks to us. We got to be willing to fund the things of God. We got to be willing to give like He says to give. Give and it shall be given unto us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give unto you. It didn't say He would put it on the hearts of men to do it and women. You see? That's the power. Be still. Take that time. Let Him speak. Take the rushing of things and put it out the door for a little while each day. John, God spoke to him and gave him the book that we know of today. And know, it says, be still and know that I am God. Led by God in all things. On the mountain and in the valley, the emphasis of God's power, authority, and control over all circumstances. All circumstances. I want you to turn to Proverbs 16:33, please. Proverbs 16:33. Page 1048. You know, I'm going to read this verse and you're going to say, my God, what does that mean? And then we'll read the comment on it, okay? It says 33, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. The sense of this passage is that the Lord is the one who gives the direction. And that man should seek to be led by the Lord in all things. All things. All things. I'm not saying you have to go home and pray, Lord, what do you want me to eat? Don't get crazy. You know what I'm saying? That craziness is in the body of Christ. I'm telling you. You know, some things are just off the wall. Come on. You know, if I want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I don't have to pray, Lord, do I need it? Can I eat this? You know what I'm saying? You know, come on. I know some things seem silly, but it's really kind of awful. But God wants to lead us in all things. He wants you to pray about when for a new job to make sure you're doing what's right. Pray about if you should buy something new. You know what I'm saying? Like a new vehicle or a new whatever it is. Pray. Saying, Lord, show me. And don't pray in presuming that the answer is always yes. Okay? We should never, when we pray, we're saying, you tell me. We don't like that too much. We want to pray and tell, say, okay, God, do it this way and how to do it, when to do it, where to do it. And it's done. And we can believe God, but yet it's God that tells us what's what. We were made a little lower than Elohim. And when we tell God what to do, how to do it, when to do it, that was Jess that had to leave. You can go lock it back up, please. You might say, y'all locked the door. Yes, we do. Yes. We have to. When we tell God what to do, we are almost like being, please take this right, being like almost Satan. Because he said, I want to be above God. I want to do this. So we got to be careful. You know, you might say, well, God is merciful. Yes, he is. Thank God. Because we've all prayed wrong. We've all done things wrong, huh? I mean, as far as in Christian stuff. And so we thank God. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, how do we believe? We believe that God wants to move. We believe. We go to him. And we tell him, Lord, your word says this. And we quote back. He loves to hear you quote back his word. Because you're quoting his son back to him. Oh, my Lord. Jesus is the word of God. When you quote back the word of God unto him, you're quoting back Jesus unto him. And he takes that and we believe it by faith in what God has done. But yet also, as we quote it back to him and he sees this word, it's up to him what and how he wants to do it. Two people praying the same thing. God may give them two different answers. He is God. He is Lord. He is Savior. He is our King. He tells us what to do, how to do it, when to do it. We believe his word and faith in him and what he's done at Calvary's cross. But it's up to God, the end result. It's not up to me. And it's not up to you. It's up to him. Be still. God, thank you. And as you're still before him, you're going to know he's God. Oh, my Lord. You're going to know it. Because you see, he knows how to keep us out of trouble. We've done enough stirring and we've gotten into a lot of trouble. He knows how to keep us out of trouble. He knows what to do. He knows how to give us wisdom. He knows what is right for me and right for you. What I'm saying is this, he's all powerful, he's all God, and he's all knowing, and he is in control. We believe him and we stand upon his word, but the end result is up to him, my Lord. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathens, or among the nations, or the heathens, it says. Revelations 19, and we'll stop there. Hallelujah to the King, people. Come on. Come on. Shout His praises and honor Him tonight, today. My Lord, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. We will not be silent. We will praise Him. We will honor Him. We will shout for Him. We will do whatever He wants because He's King of kings and Lord of lords. You might say, well, I'm shy. So what? Whatever God wants, you do it. I'm boisterous. That means God may say, now be a little quiet there at this time. Who knows? Whatever God wants. Just because somebody's loud doesn't mean they're more spiritual than the one that's quiet in the corner. Don't go by the outward appearance. Don't do that. That's just who people are. Some are more boisterous than others. Thank God we're not all the same. Huh? Amen. So you see, God is pleased, but now if God says, hey, you're a little quiet, now I want you to shout a little bit, well, you need to shout a little bit. Amen. And the one that's too loud, say, okay, now you need to be a little quiet here because I want this one to speak up. Whatever He wants to do. See, we need to be in tune and let the Spirit of God work in our hearts and lives, people, okay? Hallelujah. Y'all ready? Revelation 19, look at verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Praise God. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Mm-mm-mm. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies were in heaven followed him upon the white horses. That's us. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. You might say, well, man, I thought he was coming for us. That's the rapture of the church. But this is talking about the second coming of Christ, where we will come back with him. And he will reign, and when he puts his foot on the Mount Olivet, that's it, buddy. When Israel's back is against the wall, when every nation has turned against her, and there's no way, and they're hiding in caves and everywhere else, God will come in and God will rescue them. Oh, my Lord, after those 7 years. He's called Faithful and True. Get that in your spirit. God is a faithful God. God is faithful. God is faithful and true. Remember, He's faithful. What He spoke to you, He will do. What He spoke to you, not what your mind spoke to you or what somebody else spoke to you, because you have a lot of that going around. Everybody wants to lay hands on everybody and prophesy. Okay, a true prophet, we want him. Anointed by God. But let me tell you, what God speaks to you, it will happen. Because you know why? He's a faithful God. Be still and know that He is God. Yes, we know that He's a God. He's God. And He's faithful and true to perform those things that He said He will do. Look, a lot of people don't believe He's coming again. I'm not talking about people out in the world. I'm talking about people that are in church. That's the most awful thing. Now you might say, well, will they be taken? Yes, they will. God is good. He's faithful and true. But we need to believe and stand upon that word. What He spoke to you yesterday, in that still, small voice, quiet, He will do what He said He would do. He will do what He said He would do. I think of Noah. Took him 120-something years or so to build that ark. God spoke to that man. Can you imagine 120 years of a building project? And only he, his wife, his sons, 3 sons, and their wives worked on it. And they preached the gospel. I wonder what they went through when God spoke to him to build this boat and to build it exactly how he said to do it. You know, we have, you know, just like the Ark of the Covenant, they had to build it exactly the way God said to do it. We have to build the body of Christ the way God says to do it. We got to live the way God says to live. We got to do it the way God says to do it. He is our King. He is our Lord. Honestly, we have no say-so. Oh, I said, that's not right. I live in America. Well, I'm sorry. Thank God. Thank you, Lord, for America. Keep it going. But I tell you what, it's God that's in control. He speaks through his word. He speaks by his spirit. We're to listen and do what God wants us to do. Noah, 120 years, like I said, or so. He knew a flood was coming. Can you imagine as he was preaching the gospel, maybe on the first 5, 10, 20 years, he would preach a little bit here as trying to get people to believe. Because they would pass by and laugh. At about 100 or so years, as he was probably preaching, because he knew time was close, he could feel an urgency. Maybe there was tears that would come down, because he knew what was going to happen. Maybe at 110, it was more grieving. But when it was time and they finished, God called the animals in. And you know what else he did? He closed the door. And when God closed the door and sealed it, that was it. So we got to do everything we can, because the door has not been sealed yet. Be a while, you know, whenever. But to get with God, let him do a mighty work. Be still before him. We know he is God. Let him work in our hearts and lives. Let him get anger and bitterness and strife and evil out of our hearts. Letting him sanctify us, cleaning us up, working in us and through us. And one day that trumpet will sound, people. What a day that will be. And I'm telling you this, they can have it all. That's here, that I have. They can have it. I don't care. Let's go. The only thing I would care about is the souls of people. So keep telling your family about Jesus. They might say, I don't want to hear. Keep telling them. And most of all, keep praying for them. Keep praying and keep telling them. Keep praying, keep telling them. And God is going to work on the backside to bring them about. Don't let the enemy bring you down about your children. We pray and we don't worry about it anymore. God is in control with that situation. Huh? God is in control. Amen. Take that time with him. You may stand, please.